Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
So, since the last time we spoke, you've had a nose piercing. I remember the conversation. The conversation was, Dad, would you mind if I had my nose pierced? And I said, yes, I would. And, of course, so you went out and had your nose pierced.
Yeah, because I wasn't asking for permission. I was asking for your input.
You asked my attitude, my input.
Your attitude, your input, but I wasn't
input
asking.
Was, no, I know that. My input was...
No.
Don't have your nose pierced. And you took that on board and decided...
I took it on board. I thought about it carefully. And then I made my own decision. But isn't that what you've raised me to do?
Now, Ruthie, I know you weren't that keen on Tim Vine's jokes last week. I'm trying a couple more...
To be honest, I don't remember them.
Just while we check the levels.
You could tell the same jokes this week and I'd still...
Well, I think the thing about Tim Vine is it's the delivery. I think he does it very fast, you see. So if you don't like a joke, you're quickly onto a new one. But I'll try this. I saw this advert in a window that said television for sale, £1, volume stuck on full. And I thought, oh, I can't turn that down. I went to...
Oh, okay. Yeah, funny.
Oh, good.
I get it.
I went to buy a watch and the man in the shop said analogue. And I said, no, just a watch. I was in this restaurant and I asked for something herby and they gave me a Volkswagen with no driver.
Mm.
Yeah, okay. But at least we've got...
I'm not sure.
No, we've got the levels, I think.
Yeah.
Good. Now, we've done 50-odd of these now. We've probably done approaching 60, I think, of these.
How? Yeah, what are we on? I used to write down the numbers, but I've forgotten.
Well, we're on season two, you see. That confused it, because we started a new season. We're on season two, I think episode 17, possibly.
Yeah, I was just about to say, I think it's 17.
17. Now,
but that's... And then how many in season one was there?
Well, it'd be 36, I think. We've done about 53 altogether. Because we've done so many of them now, it means that stuff that we went over in the very early ones, we may need to refresh. And the reason I'm saying that is...
did we go over in the very early ones?
What Generation Z was. You see, I keep saying you're Generation Z, but there are people out there who are probably not entirely sure what Generation Z is. Generation Z, born 1996 to 2010. So it's that.
I think I'm almost, because I'm so early Generation Z, sometimes I'm a little bit millennial as well.
Yes, you can be. But Generation Z...
Yes.
The interesting thing about Generation Z is now that 32% of the global population is now Generation Z. So you are the biggest...
Why is there always so many kids?
I don't know. At the moment, 32% of the global population and 40% of consumers, so that's 40% of everything that's sold, are Generation Z. You might be interested...
Wow.
Yeah, you might...
So we consume more than we are percentage of the globe.
And you may be interested to know that you have an estimated direct global spending power of $200 billion a year between you. You kidding?
Can I have some of this $200 billion?
Well...
Share the wealth a bit more?
Well, the big corporations want you to spend more of this $200 billion. The interesting thing about all this is that as young consumers, I salute you. You're more aware of the effect of your spending than millennials were. According to Bloomberg, who are a huge analyst, you know, they're money people and they analyse spending power.
They're
and
money people.
Stuff. Yeah. And they've given some advice to people who want to sell to Generation Z. And that is, you're cynical about the corporations trying to be down with the kids. When I read this, I thought, that's exactly you with the HSBC
advert. Oh, don't get me started on the HSBC advert.
We've not discussed this before,
have we? Said this on here? Because I can't remember.
I'm not sure we have.
I hate the HSBC adverts. It makes me burn with rage. Whenever I see those HSBC adverts, oh, they annoy me so much. So basically, they're HSBC, the bank, and I don't know why I needed to say HSBC, the bank, because they're posters, and they're specific to each city. So whatever city you're in, they'll probably have these HSBC adverts, and they say stuff like, it says in the middle, like, we are Leeds, cut from a different cloth, we predicted a riot as a starter for 10. Like, they just say, like, stuff like that, like, Leeds things. But I don't understand why HSBC, Hong Kong, Shanghai Banking Corporation, it's not like they're from here. Like, I don't mind people using their, like, ties to a city to sell something if you're actually from that city. Do you know what I mean? Like, if Mel B started a solo career and labelled herself as, oh, Leeds, 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 that's fine, because she's actually from here. But don't pretend to be my friend as a bank. Don't pretend that you see something in this great nation when you don't.
No.
Like, you're not.
And just to underline the dishonesty of HSBC, I was on a tube station in London and they said, we are London.
We are, exactly. You can't say you're all the cities.
We're Pearly Kings and Queens, it had.
Did it say that?
It said, we're Jelly Deals, we're Pie and we're Pearly Kings and Queens.
It's so annoying. Mm.
Well, that's typical for Generation Z. When these companies start a campaign and they get it wrong, Generation Z are quick to reject them. They've got some advert. It's a huge piece that I read here, but they've got some advert they did.
He's a very good reader.
Yeah, well, I've highlighted bits, but they've got some adverts that they did which didn't quite hit the spot. It was a Justin Bieber. They used Justin Bieber because they like to use influencers. I'm sure we've mentioned influencers.
Yeah, YouTubers and Instagrammers and stuff like that. But personally, I don't really like the word influencer.
Yeah.
I don't think people who are influencers really would like the word influencer.
Yeah,
It feels very strange that they think that something can influence you like that. Like, I think it can, but I don't understand when we became so direct about it.
Mm. Well, Cardi B apparently is who we've featured on.
Did you see that she tried to copyright the sound? You know, the I Can't Do It. She like does a thing where she like rolls her R's, and she tried to copyright the sound.
Was she successful?
No, of course not. You can't copyright a sound like that.
No, and the French have been doing it for years.
Yeah, it's like
I mean, Edith Piaf used to roll her R's all the time.
Yeah.
However, Pepsi used Cardi B in a campaign, doing a little bit of ASMR. We have discussed ASMR. Do you know what it is?
Yes.
It's autonomous sensory meridian response.
I didn't know what the letters stood for, but I'd know what it is.
It's whispering in your ears, isn't it?
It's not always whispering, though. Sometimes it's like scratching on something to make a nice noise.
Well, Cardi B did a bit of that for Pepsi, and that was quite successful. However, other campaigns haven't been successful. Gen Z's, that's you, Gen Z's, Gen Z's if you prefer, like to spend their money ethically. Higher proportions of Generation Z were happy to spend more money on products that promoted positive initiatives around the environment. And there is a word for you people.
They love to give us a word or an umbrella term.
I'll tell you what you are. You're philanthroteens.
My God, that's patronising.
Yes, you are philanthroteens. While we're on the subject of advertising, Ruth, tell me about the...
No, I had two things that were about advertising, actually. Both about weight.
I was going to say, tell me about the Venus Lady Shaver.
Yeah, so Venus Lady Shaver.
Isn't that what it's called? The Gillette...
Gillette Venus. I didn't know it was called Lady Shaver.
Yes, I think they used to. It used to have on it Venus Lady Shaver.
Yeah, so you've seen the picture, haven't you? So basically, Venus have chosen this model who Gillette, and they've used this plus size model in their campaign. She's a plus size model, but she's not plus size like size. I mean, they think that size 12 is plus size, but she's like obese, like quite big. She looks like maybe a size 20 or something like that. And so people have said that the behaviour is like irresponsible and all that kind of thing, and whether it's a good idea or a bad idea. Someone like created the poll and asked whether it's a good idea or a bad idea, and there was 89% voted for it to be a bad idea. And so
people
are saying it's irresponsible and you're promoting obesity, basically, and that it's not, you shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Not entirely, because people are this size, and to not ever show them and to not show them experiencing joy ever would be to like almost deny their existence.
She's in the sea, isn't she?
Look, she's in the sea and she's to jump in and smiling and stuff. It's bad because I don't think it is healthy to be that way. Like, I think that doctors have said that's not a healthy way to be. But often it's not a healthy, it's that a lot of the models that they promote regularly on catwalks and stuff that are very slim, it's maybe more healthy to be that way, but they're not healthy people. And like, there's a massive problem with like cocaine and stuff with models, because it's impossible to keep that weight. But I think if we're going to call this dangerous, then you have to do it across the board. You can't just call it dangerous when it's not what fits in with like societal beauty standards.
Yes, but it seems to be a ridiculous swing to go from somebody who's stick thin and it's not a healthy weight. Why not use someone in the sort of middle range?
Yeah, I think that's what would be better.
Like a normal person, so a little bit fat, not, you know, like normal people have a certain amount of body fat and not stick thin like that. But she looks horrendous. I mean, she's got
Does she only look horrendous because you're not used to seeing
It's unhealthy. The post, I saw some of the posts underneath the advert, and the posts that I thought were the most accurate ones were saying, oh, you're saying women's bodies, you should be proud and loud and proud, it doesn't matter how fat you are and what your body looks like, Gillette are with you all the way, but at the same time, they're saying remove all the hair from your body.
I think that's the problem, is that often when these, so like Cosmopolitan, we talked about this when it came out, so Cosmopolitan put Tess Holliday on the front of their magazine. Tess Holliday is a really big girl, and the same, it was literally the exact same argument, but Cosmo are the people who've created the problem, and so are Gillette. Like, if you look at any of the other Venus adverts, they are these really skinny girls. They're the ones who've created the problem, and now they're telling you, oh no, actually it's really trendy to be like this right now, so we're going to do this instead. I don't think it's like entirely wrong, because also I think that there should be more pictures of like really plus size people, like you probably say like obese people, exist. And if you were to look at magazines nowadays and you had never lived in the world, if you were dropped on the planet Earth and all you had was magazines, you would genuinely think that people didn't exist who looked like that. And I think that if we promote a healthy attitude to bodies and to being a normal size, and whether that, because some people are just naturally a bit bigger and that's healthy for them or whatever, if we promote that in general, and then you have pictures of these people that says like, oh, it's like okay if you look like this, like don't hate yourself. I don't think that people should feel ashamed if they look that way.
No, but it wouldn't hurt to lose a bit of weight.
Yeah, but I don't think it should be done by shame.
It's always difficult to lose weight, and more difficult for, I think, as long as we recognise that it's more difficult for some people to lose weight than it is for others, which is definitely true. I mean, we're different metabolisms and all that. There's nothing wrong with saying you shouldn't be that big. Try the salad bar from time to time.
No, but like the girl, this Anna O'Brien, she's, if you look into her background, she's like a runner, and she talks about how difficult it is for her to lose weight. Do you know what I mean?
She could lose a bit of that weight, surely.
Well, I don't know whether she could or not. But again, I think what is good about the picture is that it shows someone feeling joy. Like, you should be allowed to be happy and be that way.
Yes.
I think that a lot of it comes from like a fascination about weight at the moment. I wanted to ask, do you think that there's more of a fascination about what you're eating and how big you are and all that kind of stuff nowadays than there was, say, in the 60s or the 80s?
Yeah, definitely. I think that there's way more. One of the worst things about it is the government came out, and I don't know when it was, it'd be 10, 15 years ago maybe, with this five a day. You've got to have five a day, which is such absolute nonsense. You know, you've got to have five a day. So what commerce thought, oh, hang on, here's something we can latch on to here. And that's why you have Kiddylicious Apple Crisps. Now, Kiddylicious Apple Crisps are one of your five a day. like hell they are. Basically, 16.5 teaspoons of sugar in the Kiddylicious crisps. Kiddylicious strawberry fruit wiggles. 16.4 teaspoons of sugar on the packet. One of your five.
16 teaspoons of sugar.
Yeah, both of those.
Unbelievable.
16.4. If you fancy going a bit light on the sugar, Dino Paws strawberry and apple. One of your five a day, kiddies. 14.8 teaspoons of sugar. This five a day thing ought to be taken and put in the trash can where it belongs. It's absolute nonsense. You don't need five a day.
How many avocado do you need a day?
As many as you can comfortably as part of a balanced diet. Basically, that is. You don't need avocado. You don't need berries. You don't need
smoothies. I don't like avocado.
You don't need any of that stuff. Yeah, you don't like avocado?
No.
Don't eat it. And that's obviously grown up during the millennial generation. If you want bacon and eggs for breakfast, have bacon and eggs. Yeah, unless you're looking after the environment and being vegan, in which case, good luck.
Genuinely, everyone should be vegan. If you can do it properly and not, like, because some people don't eat anything, basically, and use it as that. But if you can be a vegan healthily, that is the most sustainable diet for people.
For the environment,
yeah, for the environment,
yeah,
and it's also like it must be really good for you if you can get enough protein.
Well, I don't think I think that that's not been proven yet.
If you can get enough protein, I bet it is to eat or to eat what's it called, like raw, not vegan, but like raw diet. You know,
people have got really eating a raw diet.
No, but I bet if you can avoid like processed foods,
I think balance is the thing. It's commerce that grabs hold of things. If people see an opportunity to make money out of it, they will. And I think that's going to be the problem as veganism grows as well. I think there's going to be more.
I mean, you've already seen that, haven't we? A bit.
There's more products in the shops.
Yeah.
Obviously, way more products in the shops. And I'm not there. I think those are produced for profit. Therefore, I'm not sure all the good stuff that should be in there will be in there. Now, Ruth, I know you've got exams coming up, and I'm grateful, you know, in the light of that, for the amount of research you're putting into these items on the podcast. But I just wondered, do you ever read? I've read at least three articles this week.
I don't read them.
No, and I don't blame you either. Three bits of advice that were in a health piece here. Practice abdominal breathing, it says. This is a guy from Liverpool John Moores University, professor of education. One of the tips is to practice diaphragmatic or abdominal breathing. Another one, inhale rosemary oil.
Although we did get told, because I had a French oral exam, and we got told to, if we were feeling really stressed, to get Bach's rescue remedy or whatever, and you sniff it and it's meant to make you feel calm.
Yeah, do you think it works?
Well, I did have someone else had some, and so I sniffed their Bach's rescue remedy. I didn't really notice, to be honest. I think it's placebo. I think if you believe it works, then it probably does work.
And eat berries and porridge. Well, in the light of what I've just said, you know, if you fancy bacon and eggs, eat bacon and eggs. But
I do think some food do help your brain more, though.
Well,
some foods make you feel more groggy.
Well, Helen Bond, who's a registered dietitian, she says your focus should be on nutrient-packed food that provides a sustained energy boost. So,
Weetabix.
Foods such as porridge and wholemeal toast topped with hummus or avocado will help to prevent blood sugar spikes that can affect your mood and anxiety. But I think the jury's out on all that stuff.
Have some music.
I think we should have some music. Absolutely, good point. Well, now I got another email saying suggesting, and we'll go through the emails later, but another email suggesting a tune by Little Feet, who are one of these 70s sort
of Little Feet.
Feet spelled F-E-A-T, but they're one of these 70s bands that I like, you know, a bit of country rock, a bit of rhythm and blues and all that. So I thought, oh, I might play that. And I was sort of looking through, and when I came across it, it said, oh, if you like that, you'll probably like this. And I thought, oh, yes, I remember now. And I've got the album at home. It's called Chicken Skin Music, and it's by a chap called Ry Cooder. Are you familiar? Do you know Ry Cooder? I'll tell you about him.
No, I don't know Ry Cooder. No. Never heard of him.
Born, just the sort of guy I like. Born 1947, an American musician, songwriter, film score composer and record producer, a multi-instrumentalist, but best known for his slide guitar work. And he does a whole range of different stuff, but a lot of rhythm and blues, a lot of country music, all sorts of stuff. Great on the slide guitar. And in this thing, he's doing a version of an older Elvis Presley song. it's written by Doc Pomus and Mort Schumann, who are brilliant. So wrote a lot of stuff for Elvis in the 50s, 60s. Originally released 1961 by Elvis Presley. That was the 1979 version by Ry Cooder.
Don't really like Elvis Presley that much, so I'm glad you didn't play that.
That was Ry Cooder.
Yeah, it was nice.
1979. Yeah, it's lovely stuff. It's, and everything, every track on the album is a slightly different style. It's great stuff. You this week?
I've got a song called Egypt Lover by Reggie Snow, featuring Amina and someone else, I think.
Dana Andrews, I think.
I can't remember what her name is.
Maybe not Dana Andrews.
Dana Williams.
Yeah, Dana Andrews, of course, was from the movie years ago.
Of course.
Of course. Right, so...
And I'll tell you about him after you've listened.
Yeah, can I tell you something about him? He spells Reggie with two J's.
Yeah, he spells Reggie R-E-J-J-I-E.
Wacky. The past, the past, the past, the past. Leave it in the past. The past, the past, the past, the past. Leave it in the past. Breakdancing boogie, my love. This is 1971. I crave that brain and that flesh. Cups of tea and cups that bleed red. There you go, got a bit of his rap in there, yeah. And we've got a bit of Dana in there as well.
Yeah, she's got a really pretty voice. Mm. So Reggie Snow grew up as the only black kid on Dublin's north side, because he sounds kind of like he might be American. From Dublin's north side. He's 23 years old, but he's already had quite a big career, and he's got quite a name for himself. People think he's like wise beyond his years and whatever. He toured with Madonna, and he recorded with Kai Trenada, who does like dance music, like really, really good. And he's become, he's on a label, he's on the same label as people like Fetty Wap and like Young Thug. I knew that was going to get a thingy. Amina, who is really big as well at the moment. So he's recorded with him and Dana Williams and whatever. And so, yeah, he's quite cool. And
yeah, well, I liked it.
From Dublin.
I liked it a lot. What amazes me is these, when we keep playing these tunes, is how young everybody is.
Mm.
There was Sigrid, who we've played, the Norwegian pop star. Do you want to know what she has for breakfast?
She'll have skyr, yoghurt.
Well, no, she doesn't. She says, we eat a lot of fish in Norway, but mackerel for breakfast is not my favourite. I love mackerel for breakfast. She says, I have scrambled eggs, mushrooms and more coffee. So, bless her, scrambled eggs, mushrooms.
Love mushrooms.
She says, going vegan is popular here and I'm trying to cut down on meat. But I thought, say, she sounds very balanced to me. And she's 22. She says, I've been involved in the music industry since I was 15.
No, well, that you got, like, Billie Eilish, what, she's 17 now. Don't think she's even 18 yet.
She's 17,
what was I going to say about,
Cirque. She's on tour.
You know that Cirque, who we've played before, she wrote her first song, one of her like most popular songs now, when she was 14.
Wow.
Like, it's just unbelievable how young people are.
It is. I'm against it myself. Too many young
You're against
people.
It.
Yeah, totally. Billie Eilish.
Eilish.
Billie Eilish, who's on tour at the moment, I think, is she? Doing stuff?
Yeah, I think so. I'll just come off tour.
Yeah, she's going to do Glastonbury anyway in June.
She's playing at Leeds Fest.
Mm. Well, she's become the youngest female solo act to top the official albums chart in the UK, but she will not be able to celebrate with a glass of champagne because she's only 17.
And she's also American, so she would need to be 21.
Yeah, well, in some states.
All states?
I think there are some states where you can...
I think it's the overall law that you have to be 21.
You might be right.
So,
so anyway, it is interesting how young all these people are. And I like to think that we're helping break these people by playing them in the podcast.
I
read about...
I think Billie Eilish needed this boost, didn't she? Yeah.
She needed that boost. We'll take a short break and then do one or two of the emails.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I've noticed this week, Ruthie, that some of the emails are actually correcting you on things that you've said recently. Oh. Darren Leithley.
Maybe they should just not.
No, maybe they should. We want to be accurate.
No, I know. Oh, what have I said?
Actually, it's not too bad, this. Darren Leithley headlines his email, Listener Feedback, and he says, hi there. A few stray thoughts about recent podcasts. It's not Alex Turner on the cover of the Arctic Monkeys debut album. It's a friend of the band.
Which one? Which?
Well, we're smoking.
Yeah,
when we talked about
is that not Alex Turner?
He says it's not. It is a friend of the band.
What? That is news to me.
Well, that's what he says. Game of
Thrones. That's a friend. Yeah. Whoa. Is there a picture then of Alex Turner in a similar pose?
Well, there may be. Yeah, no doubt Darren will get back to us and tell us.
Yeah, if you could, because I think there is a similar picture of Alex Turner smoking similarly to the album. Whatever people say, that's what I'm not. Is that
yes,
the name?
That's the one.
Yeah, whatever people say, that's what
say
I'm not.
That's what I'm not, yeah. Which
my Arctic Monkeys knowledge is not great.
No, so. But you do know that that is a line from the film Saturday Night and Sunday Morning, starring Albert Finney. Game of Thrones, he says, is worth watching and not porn, but as one-time guest star Ian McShane said, it's just tits and dragons. So that's his point on Games of Thrones. You know, last week.
That's not a correction. That's just an opinion.
Okay,
it's not right, but whatever.
47 light years. Last week we were talking about Martin Freeman saying that having a kid is 47 light years away from not having a kid.
Yeah.
Darren says 47 light years is a distance.
It's just, really far.
A very, 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 brackets continues for ages, way. And he says, and this is a lot of people writing about this, could the podcast continue via Skype once Ruth heads to university? He says, my university days were at the very end of queuing to use the communal telephone. And my university days were right in the middle of using the communal telephone when he just invented telephones.
University days, of which there were few.
Well, there was a year, nearly. But he says, I am old-ish and I'm being slowly worn out by two young girls, so I've forgotten my other observations. And that's Darren Leithley, who writes to us from Dublin.
Oh, Dublin, like Reggie Snow.
But used to live in around here, Tingley.
Cool. Yeah.
And he says, keep up the child exploitation. So he does enjoy.
Yeah.
David Adcock, he's the one that suggested Little Feet. But he says, P.S., Ruth is spot on, re-Game of Thrones. There's a lot of Game of Thrones interest at the moment.
Yeah, because of the new series, Monday, 2 a.m.
Has it started in America? Oh,
it's simultaneous. So yeah. They play at 2 a.m. here, which is ridiculous because it's an English show. It should play at like 9 p.m. here, and Americans can watch it some ridiculous time, but they follow the money, I guess.
I guess they do. P.S. He says, Ruth is spot on re-Game of Thrones. It's the characters and their interactions which make the show. The plotting and the backstabbing, not all physical, especially in Series 1. Currently, there's a 2-hour The Story So Far available on Sky. So maybe I'll watch The Story So Far, because I can't watch 8 flipping seasons of this.
If you're never going to watch it, I would say do that. But if you think there's even a chance that you would watch it all, then you shouldn't watch it because you'll ruin it for yourself.
Mm.
But, I mean, I could probably almost explain the whole story.
Oh, right. Well, I'm going to explain the story.
If I do it right now, the podcast will be an extra long episode.
Oh, right. Well, David,
I could help you with bits if you watch that story so far. But I'm not having you watch the newest episode with me.
You know, you have to pause.
I think I'm having friends around, actually.
Oh, are you? What, 2 o'clock in the morning?
No, not 2 o'clock in the morning, the next day.
Right. David Gomez, oh, actually, it's another one about the music. He says, while listening to your most recent podcast, there was a discussion about the word aplomb being only used in football. Do you remember I said strikers? He put that away with aplomb. You never hear it anywhere else.
I thought it meant like, what's the word where it's like legs aplunder?
No.
What's that word? Akimbo. No, I thought aplomb meant the same thing as akimbo.
No, aplomb is, you know, with cool assurance, really.
Right.
David says, the magnificent band Half Man, Half Biscuit sang about that in their song Keeping Two Chevrons Apart. Perhaps you could play some of their music on your podcast. Well, I replied to David and said, the thing about Half Man, Half Biscuit, they were a sort of satirical band, and you really can't play 20 seconds and it won't, won't mean a thing. So, but thank you for the suggestions, and do keep them coming. If they do want to suggest anything to us, Ruth, what would be the best address to write to?
The best address to write to would be martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com.
That's Martin and Ruth Podcast, all one word. You need to say all one
word. No, because it's an email.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Of course it is. martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com. And how much do we love getting the...
as long as they're nice.
Yeah, no, I mean, do you...
No, I like the ones that, like that one being correction. Like, oh, the Arctic Monkeys, actually, this was a friend, it wasn't Alex Turner or whatever. That's lovely to hear.
It is.
Ones that just criticise my personality, maybe less so.
But we do like the ones that talk about your pronunciation of solo or hobo. It was something...
They're the same word. You know what's an outrage?
What's an outrage?
The fact that they've stopped giving me student discount for Spotify, and you have to go to an actual university. You can't just be a student at a college because you've got to put in your university that you go to. And it's honestly really unfair. And I've written to Spotify because it's now £10 a month rather than a fiver.
Oh, and you've written to Spotify?
Yeah. I sent them an email.
Saying what?
Saying, can you please put colleges on the student list as well? Because it's not really fair, because you have a similar amount of, less money when you're a college student, if anything.
And congratulations on using the word less, because it is less money, rather than fewer. You have fewer pound coins, but less money. The reason I say that is grammar has become an issue. And that is the fact that children aged 10 and 11 in last year of primary school are being given tests on grammar. And they're ridiculous. They're ridiculous, some of these. I mean, the one or two of them are okay. But have you ever heard, and I'd never heard of this, and neither had Michael Morpurgo ever heard of this.
Wow.
And we know how good a writer he is.
Yeah.
So they've got a thing called a fronted adverbial. Have you ever heard of a fronted adverbial?
Would that be like unquickly?
No.
Like an adverb with a...
No, it's just something... That it's an adverb at the start of a sentence.
Oh.
So...
Oh, quickly he ran up the stairs.
Yeah, that would be...
Like quickly, comma.
Yeah, that would be it. That would be a fronted adverbial. But these are 11-year-old kids, and it's the question is... Question one, underline the fronted adverbial in this sentence. And the sentence is, on Wednesday, Felix has a dental appointment. I mean, for a start...
So on Wednesday?
Yeah, on
Wednesday.
That's
a very difficult adverb. Like, I know it is an adverb, but...
Yeah, that's a fronted adverbial, on Wednesday. And the other question is...
It's a difficult adverb to... Even if the question was, identify the adverb in this sentence, that's hard to identify.
Certainly is. On Wednesday, Felix has a dental appointment. And obviously the other issue there is, why is the kid called Felix? This kid who's got a dental appointment. But that's what it has in this test. I'll do you another one here. Insert a subordinating conjunction.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, insert a subordinating conjunction to show that we ate lunch and listened to music at the same time. So, I mean, it's got...
So we ate lunch whilst listening to music?
Well, what they've got is they put the sentence down. We listened to the music, ... We ate our lunch, so it would be and. It's simply and, it's conjunction, so it's simply and there. But it's the way they've phrased the question. The question, yeah.
I would just call that connective, really. Subordinate conjunction.
No, neither will I. It is a conjunction.
Yeah, yeah, it is a conjunction.
Subordinating conjunction? We never learned about that. And these are for kids.
The thing is with, like, grammar and stuff like that, is that grammar's only there to allow for the most clear conveying of ideas. And that's why sometimes it pees me off when someone corrects your grammar when it's like whom or who or whatever. Mm. Like, there's actually all you and I rather than me and you. Like, there's actually no need for that. And at some point, like, grammar just becomes redundant because you're not conveying anything more clearly. So there's not really any need for it. I think people also use it to, like, show how superior they are, and it really grinds my gears.
Yeah, I agree with you. But fewer and less, you're on board with me on that one.
I'm not that on board, because I don't think you ever think when I'm like, oh, there were less people there, that you think I'm cutting up humans.
Yeah, that does sound like that. But for clear understanding, which should be there are fewer people.
But when I say, like, oh, there was less people in the club on Saturday than there was on Friday, like, do you think that...
No, you don't
imagine half of a person. No. So then what's the point of the less and fewer argument?
Yeah, I'm coming around to
this is it. This is the last time you correct less and fewer.
I'm coming around to your view on that. Interesting racism story here.
I thought you were just not going to say story at the end, and you were just going to go, interesting racism.
Yes. This woman has written this book. She's called Jennifer Aberhart. She's a black woman. She's written this book called Biased, The New Science of Race and Inequality. Mm-hmm. And what she's saying is, you could be the most liberal person in the world, and you're still probably racist. And the same thing applies to black people as well, but I'll explain what she said in this book. They did a study. They had two groups, right?
Yeah.
And one group, they showed them pictures of black people. Just no comment, just said, here's some pictures of people, and the people were black. The other group, they showed pictures of people, and the people were white. They didn't ask for any response or anything, mm-hmm. They just showed them these pictures. Then they played them sort of little films. And in the films, it was very shadowy. You couldn't tell what was happening. And until... eventually, a gun appears out of the shadows. You see a gun. And what your task is there is, as soon as you see a gun, you have to press a button saying you've seen a gun. And the study group that had been shown pictures of black people...
Were they white people who were shown the pictures?
Yes. No, there were a variety of people.
Variety of people, of all races,
right. The people who'd seen the pictures of the black people... identified the gun more quickly than the people who'd been shown the pictures of the white people.
God, that's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, meaning that...
You're expecting to see a gun.
Precisely. She says, don't pursue the toxic policy of colour blindness. Don't do that thing where you say...
I don't see colour.
Precisely. Yeah. And I don't care if they're black or brown or yellow or green and those things that people say. This is interesting in the light of Amber Rudd. You remember Amber Rudd doing an interview and she got into trouble because she said coloured woman.
Yeah, well, it's like the Angela Smith from the Independent group, and she called people like a funny tinge, didn't she? It was in her first interview or whatever.
Don't worry about it. According to Jennifer Aberhart, who's written this book, she says, we shouldn't get hung up on language and terminology. People are so worried about messing up, they end up avoiding having these conversations completely and don't engage at all with people across race lines. We are different, she says. Science proves it. To see discrimination, you need to see and acknowledge race.
Yeah.
So she's saying, don't go around pretending not to acknowledge race.
I think a lot of people have said that. I think they say that in that... I'm not talking to white people about race anymore. I think that she brings that up in that book as well. I can't remember who it's by. But. Mm.
Well, there's an interesting sort of sidebar to that, in that a woman called Dream McClinton has done a thing on the internet. She's a dark-skinned black woman. Colourism, she talks about colourism, which is the prejudice based on skin tone, and I wasn't aware of this at all. She went onto Tinder and was having trouble linking up with anyone, but she says colourism has stunted the romantic lives of millions of dark-skinned black women.
Have you not heard about
black
this?
Black women, including me. No, there's even seen dark-skinned and light-skinned.
Yeah, dark-skinned and light-skinned is really, like, rife and stuff. And, have you seen the film Straight Outta Compton?
No, I haven't.
So it's a biopic film about NWA. It's a really, really good film, actually. And But the massive problem is that they didn't audition call. They wanted black girls or... like mixed race girls for the party scene. It's like a pool party and everyone's meant to be super hot and everyone's half naked, and you can imagine the scene of these rappers and whatever. Mm. And they put out an audition call, and they were like, you know, the type of girls they wanted. So they were like, number one, these girls are the hottest of the hot. They're the girls who you would only dream about getting with, super light skinned African Americans or whatever. Then they were like, number two, these girls are still pretty hot with like little boobs or whatever, blah blah blah, slightly darker skin. And then like three, these girls are just filler girls or whatever, darker skin, not as hot as the light skinned girls.
I never knew about all that.
Do you
know why though?
Nope. But I'm sure you're going to tell me.
I'm absolutely going to tell you. Like other systems of racial inequality, American colorism was born out of slavery. As slave masters raped enslaved women, their lighter-skinned illegitimate offspring were given preferential treatment over their darker counterparts, often working in the house as opposed to the fields.
Yeah.
This order has since been perpetuated by systemic racism and internalized by black people. And then she talks about, she went to school in Georgia. She says, I have many memories of being degraded because of my complexion. The most piercing is from middle school. Two girls giggled in my Georgia history class during the showing of a documentary about slavery. As the film explained the origins of skin tone prejudice, one girl, biracial, hazel-eyed, and the only other black girl in class, whispered that she would have been a house slave, but I would have been a field slave. She says, dark skin still not only comes with the expectation of lower class, but lessened beauty, not straight out of Compton, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not to mention uncleanliness, lesser intelligence, and a diminished attractiveness. That was fascinating to me because I've not heard of the phenomenon.
You've seen Dreamgirls, haven't you, as well?
I've seen Dreamgirls.
One of the issues in that is that Beyonce.
I don't remember that.
Well, I think it's implicit, but I think that it's definitely there that Beyonce is beautiful, and she's a black woman, but she's much lighter skin than Jennifer Hudson, who is the girl who should be kept in the back, whereas they want to push Beyonce forward because she's more beautiful. But I think that implicitly it's because she looks less black. Right. Shall I give you a meme of the week?
Yes, please. Well, while you're searching that, can I give you a tweet of the week?
Yeah.
Tweet of the week from Just Sally.
I hope this doesn't become a regular spot. I'm not sure how I feel about that. Stealing my thing.
No, this is just a tweet of the week. Well, Darren Williams, who's a big fan of the podcast, said this to me.
And a friend of yours. I think it's important to say
that. Yes, he's a friend of mine as well.
He's not an entirely unbiased listener.
No, but this is a fantastic tweet. It's from a woman called Just Sally, who's not a friend. I don't know Just Sally. And she tweeted, I waved to a man because I thought he'd waved at me. Apparently, he waved to another woman. So to get out of the awkward situation, I kept my hand up and a taxi pulled over and drove me to the airport. I am now in Poland starting a new life.
Yeah, that is good. Okay, so mine is this. That Oral-B ad where a woman says, I do not Oral-B made a toothpaste, genuinely pisses me off so much. Like, what kind of script is that? What do you think Oral-B sold?
Is that on an Oral-B ad? I've never seen that.
Yeah. Don't you remember where she's in the dentist and like, she's like, oh, you've got really bad sensitivity issues. And she goes, you should try this Oral-B sensitive toothpaste. And she goes, I didn't know Oral-B sold a toothpaste.
Ridiculous.
So ridiculous.
If you want to get in touch with us, it's martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to hear more of Ry Cooder or of the guy with the funny Reggie, whatever it
Snow.
Is, Reggie Snow.
If you want to hear the full versions of the two songs we played and all the songs from the other weeks, then they're on the Spotify playlist, which you can find by typing in Martin and Ruth or Ruthie, Me and My Dad, and either of those will get you to the playlist.
And thank you very much indeed for your continued support.
Yes, thank you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.